WMFO. Good afternoon, everyone. How are you? It's the temperature is dipping. So if you dressed for the weather this morning, 50 degrees, it is getting a lot colder. So if you're in a situation where, you know, you can get another layer on, that would be recommended. They did say that this morning that it would go down and the wind is kicking up. So it looks sunny, which is lovely, but it is much colder out than it was this morning. So be advised. So this is The Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce The Voice. We're going to have a special guest coming into the studio at 4 o'clock. Jason Anik is going to be here. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Oop, I got the wrong. Let me see. Here we go. He is with the Rhythm Future Quartet, and it's bringing gypsy jazz into the 21st century. He's a jazz violinist. So we'll be talking more with him at 4 o'clock, and I'm very excited to welcome him here to the studio at WMFO. We're live at Tufts University. You can go to WMFO.org to check out what's playing. You can also find other shows you might like to listen to. And I just noticed something. I always try to grab the paper, the Tufts Daily, and something caught my attention. Now my phone is making noises, so it's probably too early for it to be something from my guest. Let me see. Okay, so that's not something I need to worry about. Okay. also, before I go to that, If any of you live in Somerville, in the neighborhood around, it's between Broadway and Somerville Ave, the area that is near Dane Street and Skehan Street. My friend's cat has gone missing, and they're putting posters around. So kind of be aware of that. The cat's been gone now for like a day and a night. It does have a chip, and I think he's dark colored. I don't have all the details, but she's frantically looking for her cat. So being a cat person, I would be going totally nuts if my cat was missing. Okay, so the headline that caught my eye in the Tufts Daily was Tufts alumnus and father held as Iranian political prisoners. It's on page 4. Let me see what that's about, because that's pretty scary. Scary for anybody, but especially if it's somebody in the community. So, detained without charges since last October. There's a full long article on page 4 by Nicole Brooks, the feature editor. Says, this is a nightmare I can't describe. The words of the mother of Tufts alumnus and Iranian-American businessman Slamak Namazi. He was, it says, A93. Detained and arrested by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps without any public charges, wrote last week. Siamak, it's S-I-A-M-A-K, Siamak, is estimated to have been in detention for over 130 days, where he has practiced a hunger strike, according to his mother, who learned this from his cellmate. Wow. The ARCC forces ransacked the house, confiscated property, and took the dual national to Evin prison. It's absolutely awful. Anyway, you can go to the Tufts Daily to get the full article. They're describing it as hell on earth. Horrible, horrible, horrible. So let's see. I look to see if there are some events that March 3rd, Law Day on the Hill, 6 to 8:30 in the Alumni Lounge. Ever wonder what it's like to sit in on a law school classroom? Want to hear from alumni in the legal profession about law school and the workforce? Do you want to practice your networking skills? So you can go to the Law Day on the Hill. Register online, go.tufts.edu/pre-law, sponsored by Pre-Law Advising and the Alumni Association and Tufts Lawyer Association. Sounds like a good networking opportunity. And there's an article about Chris Rock's Oscar monologue. I did watch the Oscars. I thought he was pretty amazing, actually. He's not one of my favorite comics, but I'm not into comedy all that much. But I thought he did a decent job of it, actually. He had some biting comments to make and funny comments to make. Okay, so what else do I want to share with you before we start with some music? That's so funny. All right, so oh, dear. Sometimes when you don't realize it, you hit the computer and we have this software program that allows us to enter in data into a program so you can look and see what we're playing and where you can get it if you want it and so forth. And if you hit the wrong key, it goofs it up. It's quite nuts. So what else do I want to tell you about? Well, the election, obviously. Everybody's talking about the election. I hope you went out and voted, whatever way, you know, to express your right. We still don't know really exactly where it's going. And, you know, everybody's saying they think it's this and they think it's that. And I don't know. I think that the people still have an opportunity to change things. We'll see how it shapes out. Some people like the way it's going. Other people do not. So what can I tell you? You need to get involved and support whoever it is you think is the right person. For my money, I had a hard time. I don't feel really great about any of the candidates, and that's never been the case before. Nobody really expressed everything that I wanted. Some had domestic agendas that I totally approve of, but their foreign agenda was like completely wrong, or the other way around. Their foreign agenda was what I would like, but their domestic agenda was absolutely awful. So it's not such an easy thing. Anyway, that's my 2 cents on the election. All right, I guess we'll just play some music. Once again, I'm going to have a guest coming, joining me at 4 o'clock, Jason Anik. He's a gypsy violinist, and he's with a group called the Rhythm Future Quartet. Hopefully, you'll stay tuned for that. You might want to let some other folks know to tune in. He will be performing March 10th at the Regatta Bar in Cambridge, so we'll be talking more about that. And I'll be playing some from his CD. All right, we'll get started here with
אחד זה יקרה בלי שנרגיש משהו ישתנה משהו ירגע בנו משהו ייגע בנו ולא יהיה ממה לחשוש וזה יבוא כמו קו חרוט על כף יד זה יבוא בטוח בעצמו כאילו היה שם תמיד וחיכה רק שנבחין בו וזה יבוא אתה תראה הידיים הקפוצות יתארחו והלב השומר לא להיפגע יפעם בקצב רגיל זה יבוא כמו שהטבע רגיל להיות שלם עם עצמו יום אחד זה יקרה בלי שנרגיש משהו ישתנה משהו ירגע בנו משהו ייגע בנו ולא יהיה ממה לחשוש זה יבוא כמו קו חרוט על כף יד זה יבוא בטוח בעצמו כאילו היה שם תמיד וחיכה כשנבחין בו וזה יבוא אתה תראה הידיים הקפוצות יתארחו והלב השומר לא להיפגע לפעם בקצב רגיל זה יבוא כמו שהטבע רגיל אתה תראה הידיים הקפוצות יתארחו והלב השומר לא להיפגע בקצב רגיל זה יבוא כמו שהטבע רגיל להיות שלם זה יבוא כשלא הכל יטלטל אותנו ולא הכל יקה ומה שיפתח לנו מחכה
Beautiful. That is Eliyahu and the Kadim Ensemble. And I often like to play from their work. They're just quite fabulous. That was called Maghrebi. And before that, we heard Shlomo Karlbach off the CD Haneshama Lach, Songs of My Soul, on Sojourn Records, Shomer Yisrael, Guardian of Israel. And the opening song by the Idan Rachel Project was Irot Shel HaChaim, Scraps of Life. That's on Helicon Music label. And the CD is from the Traveling Home, the deluxe edition. When I had just moved into my new place two years ago, over in Belmont, I had been aware that there was a live CD. I had just heard Idan Rachel, and the music was just so explosive. Anyway, I had emailed the company for some music, and it arrived shortly after I moved. I was just blown away. It was so exciting. So, let's see. I want to share with you a speech that was given by Rabbi Sacks. This was part of a debate in the House of Lords on the understanding of the Middle East. It was posted online, and the speech was Tuesday, the 23rd of February of this year. My lords, I too thank the noble Lord, Lord Grade, for introducing this debate, to which I wish to add one observation. Democracy is not achieved merely by giving everyone the vote. Freedom is not achieved merely by removing a tyrant. They require a sustained effort of education and a balanced supply of information. Without these, democracy can descend into mob rule, and from there to a new tyranny, exactly as Plato thought it would. The results of the Arab Spring, 4 years on, are tragic testimony to this truth. Democratic freedom is sustained by media that take it as their task to present more than one side of a complex issue, and by universities that understand the importance of academic freedom, which means giving a respectful hearing to views different from your own. Today, these values are being undermined. The internet and social media mean that people can go through life without encountering views with which they disagree. Some universities have allowed students effectively to ban the presentation of views with which they disagree. A soundbite culture makes it hard for people to understand the complexities of political conflict. The human mind finds it hard to handle moral and political complexity, and can easily avoid it by dividing the world into the good guys and the demons, and concluding that all you have to do to solve a problem is to first silence, then eliminate the bad guys. Often in the past, they were called the Jews. Today, they are called the State of Israel. That is not good for the future of freedom in the Middle East. I would urge the government to do all it can to ensure that our institutions of education and information honor the principle that justice involves audi alteram partem, which means let the other side be heard as well. Beautifully spoken. That was a message that Rabbi Sacks gave to the House of Lords on the 22nd of February. Also, in that same note, there's something else I want to share with you. The European implosion obliges new alliances for Israel and Jews. This was posted by Issy Lieber on February 24th, actually the day after that speech was given, in Global Jewry. The mass migration of Muslim, quote, unquote, refugees to Western Europe could result in one of the most significant global demographic upheavals in history. In an outpouring of passionate emotions, European leaders have suspended reason and self-esteem. Political correctness has reached suicidal levels. Unless the tide is reversed, this migratory movement may irreversibly undermine the Western culture, which was the foundation of European civilization. It is estimated that there are an additional 8 to 10 million predominantly Muslims from Middle East and North Africa still intending to cross into Europe. There are already over 6 million Muslims in Germany, the bulk of whom have no intention of integrating. Last year alone, Germany absorbed 1 million new migrants. Contrary to widespread perception, most are not refugees and are not even from Syria, but young male Muslim migrants seeking a better life. The Arab states, including the wealthy Gulf states, refuse to absorb them for, quote, security reasons. Although the Saudis are committed to building at least 20 new mosques in Germany, criminal elements abound in the Muslim migrant population, and the horrendous mass sexual assaults on New Year's Eve in Cologne and similar incidents in other European cities have shocked the indigenous inhabitants. Yet the media, politicians, and even police have underplayed the severity of the attacks to avoid highlighting the antisocial tendencies of these quote-unquote refugees and intensifying anti-immigration outrage. This despite the fact that in 2015, the estimated number of crimes by migrants in Germany was in excess of 400,000, an 80% increase on the previous year. It is also clear that the anti-democratic agitation of dominant Muslim extremists is having an impact. Even before this latest upsurge, Muslims were effectively silencing any criticism of Islamic extremism with accusations of Islamophobia. Yet, public anti-democratic and feral anti-Semitic demonstrations, spearheaded by Muslim hate speakers, were tolerated and are now taken for granted. There is also concern that there are a considerable number of jihadists submerged within this migratory population, establishing themselves as sleepers to be activated by ISIS at a time of its choosing. Not to mention the numerous jihadists incubated by native extremist mullahs in mosques in Central European cities. The impact of this migration on the future of Europe is alarming, yet most leaders remain in denial. Chancellor Merkel, one of Europe's best post-war leaders, appears to have lost the plot, presumably convinced that absorbing these migrants enables Germany to redeem itself from its wretched past. But the truth is that in addition to the substantial criminal element, most of these migrants share two major beliefs: a fanatical anti-democratic agenda and a passionate hatred of Jews with which they were imbued from childhood. Chancellor Merkel, who is considered a philo-Semite, has thus unintentionally given anti-Semitism in Germany the greatest possible boost. Assumptions that these new migrants will be integrated are absurd. Europeans failed to integrate the previous generation of Muslim immigrants and are far less likely to do so today with a tougher and more ideologically committed wave of migrants. Europeans face a dark and difficult future. The massive increase in social welfare to meet the basic needs of migrants is likely to have a major negative impact on European economies. The European Union could be seriously weakened or even fall apart. For Jews already treated with pariah status in many countries, this immigration will generate further hatred and intensify the existing hostile public opinion pressuring governments. Trends to conceal Jewish identity will be intensified, and Jews seeking to maintain a Jewish life and bring up children who are proud of their heritage face an extraordinarily bleak future. The coalition of Muslims, leftists, and quote, human rights organizations, and traditional anti-Jewish groups form a witch's brew of anti-Semites, which will make the lives of Jews unbearable. European policies towards Israel are unlikely to improve, as governments imposing tougher conditions on Muslims to ensure their internal security will be inclined to compensate their Muslim constituencies by displaying greater animosity to Israel. I'm getting a phone call. Hold on a second. Let's see. Okay, I don't know how to answer the phone. Oh, dear. Hello? Oops. Okay, didn't know how to do that. All right, well, I don't know who just called. I don't know if it was my guest trying to let me know he's here. Let me just check and see. Sometimes this phone is really a pain. Let's see what happened here. It might not even be my guest, but I better check and see. All right, let me put some music on meanwhile. This is thank you. Okay, well, that was, in fact, my guest. He's on campus and is trying to make his way over to Curtis Hall, which is where we are in Tufts University. We're WMFO Medford, and you're listening to The Voicemobile. Jason Anik is going to be joining me here in the studio. We'll be coming on at 4 o'clock, so you have time to let people know. He's a jazz violinist, and his group Rhythm Future Quartet is breaking new ground for gypsy jazz. It's a quote by John Gorelick of the Boston Globe. So I wanted to finish this article I was sharing with you. I hope I can see where I stopped off. Yeah. So I think okay, European policies towards Israel are unlikely to improve as governments imposing tougher conditions on Muslims to ensure their internal security will be inclined to compensate their Muslim constituencies by displaying greater animosity to Israel. The despicable discriminatory policy against Israel, currently displayed by the EU and in particular by France, exemplifies this. Initially, many Europeans, especially Jews, were inclined to be generous and hospitable to those they believed were refugees, quote-unquote, fleeing from barbaric conditions. But as reality emerged, enormous rage has swept the native population as they begin appreciating the immensity of the breakdown of quality of life and lawlessness resulting from the presence of these migrants. This is creating major upheavals in the political system, with populist anti-immigration nationalist groups initially regarded as eccentricities now transformed overnight into powerful movements. This is most evident in France, where Marine Le Pen's National Front has emerged as the largest party and could feasibly assume the reins of power. The right-wing parties in Europe have traditionally been unfriendly to Jews, and Marine Le Pen's father, the founder of the party, who she expelled with other extremists, was an anti-Semite and Holocaust denier. Okay, I'm going to put music on because I think my guest has arrived. Let's see.
כתם של יום ובית דייגים לבן מטוס עם כנפיים עד סוף העולם מגיע משם לך צרוכי נעליים לבן על אדום עקב מנשק עקב הצחוק בעיניים כופה במקום פחות בימה בלב גלויה מתפוררת בול של נסיך מילת אהבה קטנה בקצה האיגרת רשום תאריך לפני 40 שנה השנים שלו
Okay, so Jason is here in the studio, and we'll be bringing him on at 4 o'clock, so that's great. I still can't figure out what's with me or my phone, but anyway, he's here, so it's all good. Okay, we just listened to Yosefa, a postcard from Morocco, from her CD, The Desert Speaks, and prior to that, we listened to Fortuna, Consagration de Mosé, the collection of Ladino songs is the name of that CD. So I want to finish this article. I think it's really important. I mean, one of the things that I like to do here on the Voicemobile is share things that you probably would not get to hear elsewhere. So that's my mandate. So we were talking about the evidence in France where Marine Le Pen's National Front has emerged as the largest party and could feasibly assume the reins of power. We've got so much going on in this country, but this is, we're talking about the European Union and particularly France. The right-wing parties in Europe have traditionally been unfriendly to Jews, and Marine Le Pen's father, the founder of the party, who she expelled with other extremists, was an anti-Semite and Holocaust denier. For Jews, this creates dilemmas, to put it mildly. A political correctness and emotions make Jews wary of supporting such a party. But they are torn because the National Front is the sole party not beholden to Muslim votes and seeks to limit further intake of Arabs. Over the past few years, it is the only party which has consistently supported Israel, in stark contrast to the French government's. The same dilemma faces Jews in most European countries, other than Hungary and Greece, where the populist parties are outrightly anti-Semitic and fascist. The upheavals in Europe, the new political alignments, the abandonment of Israel by the left and many liberals, the distancing of the Obama administration from Israel, the conflict between the Shiites and Sunnis, have all created a new political dimension for Jews, which requires a major strategic review. That's quite a lot to take in right there. We are living in dangerous times and must take every step to protect ourselves. This means that Tikkun Olam, making the world a better place, is a laudable objective, but must not be prioritized ahead of our own security. We are obliged to consider aligning ourselves with allies who will strengthen us, even if we disagree with some of their other policies. It's like the choices we have right now, even in this political climate, are very challenging. That already applies to our good friends, the evangelical Christians, whose passion for Israel and the Jewish people is extraordinary. But that does not mean that we share their other religious beliefs. The same must apply to conservative and right-wing populist political parties. Subject to their not harboring anti-Semitic elements, Jews should weigh up their support for Jewish interests and Israel and determine rationally who they should back rather than instinctively vote for traditional parties who continue betraying them. Boy, that just is so right on the money. It's amazing. The same applies to Israel internationally. The U.S. will, in the long run, remain Israel's best friend and most important ally. Hopefully, the next president shall reflect the positive public support for Israel in the U.S. and reverse the recent erosion of Israel's international standing by restoring the close bonds between both countries. But after our experience with the Obama administration, it is crucial that we broaden alliances. The European Union is unlikely to become a friend of Israel, but it is becoming a weaker force, and we should seek to strengthen ties with individual European countries. The recent realignment with Greece and Cyprus, former adversaries, is an example. There is also the extraordinary, albeit highly delicate, positive relationship with the Russians and other East European countries. There has also been extraordinary progress with the three major Asian countries, India, China, and Japan, all of whom are today deeply engaged in trade with Israel. Finally, the upheaval in Syria, the threat of Iran, and the emergence of ISIS has brought Israel close to unspoken alliances with Egypt and some of the Gulf states, including, ironically, Saudi Arabia, the source of Wahhabism and the export of much Islamic extremism throughout the world. Very complicated. It's not a simple thing. Their anti-Semitism remains unchanged, but temporary alliances to confront the threats from the Iranians and ISIS has created strange bedfellows. You couldn't write this stuff. I mean, you couldn't construe it for a cinema. Despite the mushrooming anti-Semitism facing Jews in the diaspora, especially in Europe, and notwithstanding the despicable bias the Jewish state faces at the UN and other international bodies, today, Israel today is in an objectively stronger position than it has ever been. But Jews in Israel must be prepared to be more flexible with their allies than has been the case hitherto. In order to be an Or Lagoyim, a light unto the nations, we must first ensure our own security, and only then can we concentrate on Tikkun Olam, repairing the world. This was originally published in the Jerusalem Post and Israel Hayom. This is an article by E.C. Leibler from February 24th of this year. And it was entitled, The European Implosion Obliges New Alliances for Israel and Jews. If you wanted to get the link for that, it's wordfromjerusalem.com. ISILEIBLER. So it's a mouthful. It's a lot to deal with. And as I say, it's things you probably will not hear anywhere else. So following that, let me put something on. Give us a chance to have a little transition here, and then we'll bring our guest on. So, let's see. Well, why not?
My lips to sing your praise, my heart to feel the joy. Let me have the gift for which I'm yearning, another night in Israel. Desert flowers blooming in the spring, the grapes upon the vine. Let me walk the beaches in the moonlight. Let me fall in love in Israel. Wherever you go, I will go. Having to follow my heart, carry me home wherever you live.
Wherever you live,
I will live. If just to breathe in the air, you'll find me in Israel. My eyes to see the day of plowshares from our swords. A time to mend, a time to gather stones, a time for peace in Israel. Let me hear the voice of bride and groom, of laughter in the streets. Answer the prayers of our children, so they need not fear in Israel.